the desire of the spiritual bride. Why she desires, what she desires, and now in the third place, how she desires. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. So what comes out of her heart now? Why does she add this last portion, for thy love is better than wine? She has received in her heart that fervent longing for the Savior, for the kisses of the bridegroom, and now she adds a reason. It is as if, reverently speaking, she would persuade the bridegroom to grant her those kisses of his mouth. We read it here. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. There is a change halfway in that verse. Because she speaks in the third person, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And then she continues and addresses the bridegroom personally, and she says, thy love is better than wine. At first he was at a distance, not present, and now she addresses him as he is clear, as he is near. So what has happened meanwhile? Oh, by faith that can happen, that the soul is given to draw near, or that the Lord comes near to the soul. That it can happen in the very deed, that it can happen spiritually. Thy love is better than wine. Oh, she knows, she feels that the love of that Savior is flowing into her heart, and how it flows out unto him once again. She has not yet received the kiss, but something of the coming kissing that is already felt. She expects it, and therefore she says, thy love is better than wine. Thy love is so excellent, is so great, and is so fervent and so precious. So she expresses that pure desire, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, and for thy love is better than wine. So all the food and drink in this world, however tasteful, however nourishing, however dainty that may be, that is not as good, not as gracious, not as desirable as that kiss of Jesus' mouth. Oh, congregation, then she says, thy love is better than wine. She knows it. She knows it. So she recalls from former times that he has kissed her, that he has spoken unto her. And is that not true, child of God? If the Lord has ever spoken one word to your soul, then you desire that again, that you may hear his voice by renewal. Then you desire, then you ask for it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, and then you can say it to the Lord, for thy love is better than that wine. In Psalm 4, you read it also that David says that thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that there corn and their wine increased. That can happen. Corn and wine. There you have now that food and that drink. But no matter how much that increased, that is nothing in comparison with the kisses of Jesus' mouth. For the word of God is sweeter than honey and than the honeycomb. And therefore, thy love is better than wine. congregation, it is the kiss of his mouth, is it not? That means that he speaks by his word and by his spirit. And then that word is so exceedingly good, sweet, precious for the soul. No wonder that she says, thy love is now better than that wine. And congregation, the question comes, is that desire of the bride strange to you? Are you not acquainted with that at all? Or do not mock about it? But really, if you do not know that desire, if there is no longing for that spiritual kiss from the mouth of Jesus, then we are satisfied with the things of this world. Then we really have no spiritual life in us. And then there is no room for you at that table. Then it is outward at best, and it will testify against us. It can also be that we have a heart that is so deceitful, but that we believe that deceitful heart and that we think it is well with us on the way to our eternity. But you see no humbling of the heart. You see no broken heart. You see no unworthiness. You see no poverty. You see no shame. You see no guilt. And congregation, then we better examine whether we be in the faith, lest we eat and drink that judgment to ourselves. But perhaps there are missing souls who say what the bride now experienced, that is not strange. Can be, of course, for the first time that you say, I'm still missing everything, but that you have received something in the past. And that now it is all gone. It is so empty and it is so barren. What did the bride now do? She told the bridegroom. She told it unto the Lord. So then lay yourself before God's countenance and say, Lord, here am I. So miserable, so poor, so empty, so guilty. Oh, and to bow before the Lord. And that is grace, is such a good place. Because when the heart is broken and the heart goes out to him, that is by love, because faith worketh by love. And you cannot see that at that time. But that is how the Lord works it in that soul. Oh, and then he proved for the bride to be a surprising bridegroom, because he is faithful. And he ever is faithful. And then at God's time, there will come a deliverance. Yes. And are there now some who may say with the bride, I have tasted of his grace, and I have received also those kisses of his mouth. And I may not deny that the Lord has stirred up that hope even in this week of preparation. Oh, how is it then in the soul, supremely fair thou art? Thy lips with grace o'erflow. And then his sweetest blessings evermore will God on that bridegroom bestow, and he bestows it upon his bride. Now, if that is the case, then do not deny that beloved bridegroom, but hearken unto his command of love. For remember his testimony. I, with desire, have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Amen.